Welcome to another Sunday with the Skies. We are so happy that you could join with our merry group here. We've got a house full of students from the Bible Institute here and our dear friends, the Wainwrights, and we're glad that you're joining us too. I don't know what it's like where you are, but it's snowing lightly here and the whole world is white. It's very, very beautiful here. I'm just so sorry for all of you who are in the desert places. Chris and Victoria, my heart goes out to you for having to be in Arizona now. It's what can I say? You've got my compassion. I hope you can join us soon. For anybody who's in a place that's warm, you know, I wish you could be here with us. And in some ways, that's really true, because the beauty of being in by a wood stove during a snowstorm really is a pleasure that I believe will make up a huge chunk of heaven, hopefully. So we're glad you could be here. We have made some progress, praise God, on our recording our CD. We did have some victory and success this past couple weeks. I won't tell you how small the success is because you might be discouraged, but at this point, any success is good success. So continue to pray. God has marvelously thus far held our equipment together, and nothing has failed yet. So keep praying, because it's only by prayer. Last year, when we spent 3 months recording, there wasn't a single day that we were enabled to go forward without being hindered by equipment problems. And thus far, we have proceeded without that. So thank you. Thank you to those who have been praying for us. I hope it'll be worth your efforts when this comes out and is finished in 2019. It'll be a joyous day. No, we're praying. This is our goal, to get it done before the summer concert series starts. So keep that in your prayers and join with us. So we're going to continue with where we left off last week. We're talking about Zerubbabel coming to rebuild the temple. And we're going to continue now into the book of Nehemiah on the same theme. And so let us commit this time to the Lord. Lord God, may you speak to our hearts today, because the words of man availeth not. They mean nothing, Lord. They just fall to the ground and they don't accomplish anything. So we simply ask you to fill this time. We ask that you would speak to us all today, that your Holy Spirit would inspire their words, that they would be from you. Again, as we have prayed many times, that our hearts would be strangely warmed as the disciples on the road to Emmaus, because you were in their midst. So we pray that our words today would be from you, that our hearts would be strangely warmed. Lord, I pray for each of our extended family that is around the world that is tuned in today, that your good hand might be upon them to extract them from the world, to draw them into your heavenly kingdom, to have them stand before you without fail, Lord. Bless them and encourage them in their battles against sin and temptation and distraction. Bless their families and cause every single family member, Lord, to be saved and to be rescued and to be with them in glory, Lord, that there would be not one missing. Lord, for each precious one that is with us today, Lord, that all their family would be rescued. Please give us strong encouragement, Lord, that you will do this good work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, last week we were talking about the importance of pressing on in our commitment to seek the Lord with all of our heart, and that as we press on, we will come to a point where we will be hemmed in, that we will face an opposition, and a severe opposition that will get so intense that we will feel as though we actually can't continue on. And this is only for those who are pressing on in Christ, because you see, the devil's main tool, the main deception that the devil uses, is to lull us into a comfortable place. He wants us to be comfortable. He wants us to be content. He wants us to be drowsy. He wants the things of God to become vague and distant. And so the devil separates us by degrees, one step at a time, one inch at a time, until we are far from God. And for those who become sensible of their state and of their condition. And I know there's many of you who have been at various concerts and meetings that we've been at, and you have been startled into an awakeness and an alertness that, wow, you've been drifting. And so for those who hear that clarion call, who hear that trumpet, it's time to get prepared to meet the Lord. And as you begin to seek the Lord with all your heart, you will, as I said, come to this opposition, which will be so complete that you will feel like you actually can't proceed any further. And you probably, some of you are going through that right now. And let me encourage you again, as I did last week. This is the point, this is the day where if you cave in, you will forfeit those blessings which God has prepared for you. You will forfeit all those blessings and the inheritance which the Lord has for you. But if you persist right now, if you press on right now, you will enter the high calling of the Lord and you will inherit the promises. And this goes far beyond you. Let me help you to understand that this goes far beyond each person who's here and each person who's listening. Your decision to press forward when you get to this brick wall will affect countless lives. It will affect countless lives. This goes way beyond you and your own little world, because one soul, that's you, that's each one of us here, one soul that is completely surrendered to God brings forth massive fruit. Just read about it. Just read in history books, in biographies, read in the Bible. A single soul that is surrendered to God is not left alone. It's a seed which brings forth intense, immense, eternal life. So as you press on, that's why you experience such opposition, because your enemy, the devil, knows it's not about Nicole or Jen or Miriam. It's not about one little life coming to meet the Lord. No, when one is surrendered to God, there's just no telling how many people might be affected by that. And God will cause fruit to come out of each life. So the devil knows it. The Lord knows it. The Lord knows the magnitude of the blessing he plans for each one of us. And he feels it is right that we should experience some difficulty in obtaining so great a promise. He has found that it is just and it is good that we would have to endure some difficulty to bring forth something that is so good. And you can think of it like birth pangs. The labor of love brings forth the precious life. And so it is with each person who is laboring to press on with Christ. Your labor will bring forth more life than you could imagine. It is a labor of love that will bring forth eternal lives. Each one. It doesn't matter who we are, or if we have any gifts of speaking, or if we're timid or intimidated by people. It doesn't make any difference. Each one in the privacy of our room and our homes that press on in Christ will bear fruit. Will bear fruit. We don't need programs. We don't need new methods. We need people abiding in the vine, and that is what will bring forth fruit. So, by all means, be encouraged to press on. And on that note, we will press on in our reading of Nehemiah. As I was saying before, Zerubbabel had come to Jerusalem, and it had been his mission to rebuild the temple. And he had met all this opposition, which we discussed last week. Now, 20 years later, Nehemiah has come at the king's acceptance. He has come to rebuild the city of Jerusalem, to rebuild its walls, to rebuild its gates, that Jerusalem would be restored as a city. And so he has come, and we're going to read now from Nehemiah chapter 4. Now, verse 7 through 18. Now it came about when Sanballat, Tobiah, and the Arabs, and the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the repair of the walls of Jerusalem went on, and that the breaches began to be closed, they were very angry. And all of them conspired together to come and fight against Jerusalem and cause a disturbance in it. But we prayed to our God, and because of them, we set up a guard against them day and night. Thus in Judah it was said, the strength of the burden bearers is failing, yet there is much rubbish, and we ourselves are unable to rebuild the wall. And our enemy said, they will not know or see until we come among them and kill them and put a stop to the work. And it came about when the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times that they will come up against us from every place where you may turn, that I stationed men in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall, the exposed places, and I stationed the people in families with their swords, spears, and bows. When I saw their fear, I rose and spoke to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, and said, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. And it happened that when our enemies heard that it was known to us that God had and that God had frustrated their plan, then all of us returned to the wall, each one to his work. And it came about from that day on that half of my servants carried on the work, while half of them held the spears, the shields, the bows, and the breastplates, and the captains were behind the whole house of Judah. Those who were rebuilding the wall and those who carried burdens took their load with one hand doing the work and the other holding a weapon. As for the builders, each wore his sword girded at his side as he built, while the trumpeter stood near me. We see in this passage a perfect picture of our life in Christ. This is an example of our life of pressing on in Christ. This is not for those who are listening from their armchairs with their world of passivity, who watch the world go by on their TVs. This message is not for them, and you will not understand this message. This message is for those who came to Jerusalem. The battle that they experienced was only for those who came to Jerusalem. The king had issued an edict that the Jews could return to their land, and he had even bid them to come and to go up to the city of their God. And instead of great rejoicing, instead of there being a great tumultuous sound of joy and laughter in the camp of God and a great exodus, instead, when the king gave the issue, the edict for them to leave, guess what happened? Nobody left. Nobody wanted to leave. They didn't want to go. Why didn't they want to go? Because they were so comfortable in Babylon. They were so used to the pleasures and the comforts and the pursuits of trade and business and their lives in Babylon that no one wanted to go up to the city of God. Now, these were all Jews, and only a few went up. Only a few out of all the Jews would go up to the city of God. There was only a few that would endure hardship to come to the city of God. There was only a few who would endure hardship in their pursuit of God, and they were all Jews. Likewise, we are all called by the name of Christ, and we are all Christians. Yet, only a few will endure hardship to come to the city of God. Only a few. And those who are comfortable in Babylon will not get this message because you don't even know about the battle. You don't even know what the battle is. You don't even know there is a battle because you're comfortable in Babylon and you love where you are and you love what you're doing. For those who have purposed in their mind and in their heart to seek the Lord with all their heart, this is your battle. This is your battle. Now, as you have purposed, and I'm talking to the few here today, and as you have determined to press on, you are right now confronted with a great and severe opposition, as it says here, that around us they were very angry and they conspired together to come and fight against us. All right? And for those who are pressing on in Christ, there's a conspiracy about you to stop you. It's not of human flesh. I'm not saying that people around you are hating you like that. No, you have an enemy who has stirred up those around you to try to stop you in any way. So our enemy is the devil. It's not those around us, it's the devil. And as we press on, we'll get reports to make us actually afraid to go on in Christ. Okay? Now, how did Nehemiah counter this threat? That's the $50 question. How did Nehemiah deal with these amazing and intense threats that were coming daily? Well, he only did this. They kept going. They kept going. That's all they did was they kept moving forward. They didn't have any massive defense system. They didn't have any great plan. They didn't have any strategy of what they would do if the enemy came in here. They didn't do that. They pressed forward. They picked up their weapons and they kept going. That's all they did. That was the whole thing. And Nehemiah instructed them to fight for their families. And this is what I want you to understand today. This is not just about you. This is not just about you. If you go down, if you give up, if you quit, your family goes down too. And those that are around you and those who are looking to you and those who have seen your conversion to Christ and those who are amazed and looking on, when they see you stumble and fall, they will quit. And so you need to fight for your brothers and your sisters and your families and your friends. This is not just about you. There's a lot of people's lives who are in the balance here. So it is very important for you to press forward and use Nehemiah's method, which is to press forward. They arm themselves with weapons. We must arm ourselves with a resolute determination to continue on in Christ. We must arm ourselves with a resolute determination to continue on in Christ. That's the method. If we do that, the enemy will fall back. The enemy will fall back, and a way will be made for you if you keep going. When you get to the point where you can't go anymore, if you take one more step, God will open a way for you. So don't give up, but be very determined. And the fearful things, you know, for the most part, especially with you ladies that are with us today, the devil uses fear to greatly intimidate you. And women as a whole are easily influenced by fear. And what does it say in the scripture? If you would become a true daughter of Sarah, that you would not be frightened by any fear. That's how to become a true daughter. Look it up in Isaiah. It's a beautiful, beautiful verse. So we are to press on even if we're afraid. We're to press on even if we're opposed. We're to press on when it seems like we can't go any further. There's not only our life at stake, but the lives of those around us are at stake, and the countless number of people who may be brought into the kingdom through our determined stand for Christ. And as I read more and more biographies and I see what God has done in the lives of those who have stood up for him, I'm amazed, I'm blown away at the numbers, the volume of people who are affected by those who make a stand for Christ. Each one of you is very valuable to the Lord to be an instrument of good in his hands. So by all means, press forward. And then we have one more interesting example found in the next chapter, or chapter 6 it is, that sometimes the opposition even comes through church members, friends, Christian friends, and those that we love and respect. Sometimes the opposition even comes through them. We see here in verse 10 of chapter 6, "And when I entered the house of Shemaiah," he was a prophet, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was confined at home, he said, "Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple. Let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. They are coming to kill you at night." And Nehemiah's response was this, "But I said, should a man like me flee? And could one such as I go into the temple to save his own life? I will not go in." Then I perceived that surely God had not sent him, but that he uttered his prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. He was hired for this reason, that I might become frightened and act accordingly and sin, so that they might have an evil report in order that they could reproach me. So the opposition will come from all sides, especially those that are closest to you, and especially those that you love the most. It will come in any form. It will come in the guise of it being a good Christian friend who is thinking that you're going through way too many trials and it's time to just, you know, ease back a little bit. You know, because you'll notice that the only people who are going through severe trials are those who are pressing on in Christ. Did you notice that? So you're part of the fellowship of the unashamed if you're getting hammered right now. It's a good place to be, and we need to encourage one another with these words continually. And so when they put their arm around you and they try to have you back off a little bit, be a little bit less fanatical, don't listen. Don't listen. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. So press on, my dear friends. Don't give up. God is going to use you for good things. There's many eyes on you. Anybody who's made a commitment to see Christ with their heart, all their heart, there's a lot of eyes looking at you. So don't give up. Don't give in. And when you're confronted with the ability to not take one more step, take the step. Go forward. Inherit the promises of God and the blessings. Let's pray. Lord, these are words that we all need to hear continually. Lord, we do not want to be seduced by the devil. We do not want to be lulled into a state of passivity. And Lord, we don't want to be intimidated to be stopped by force. But Lord, we want to overcome both of these areas of temptation, Lord. And so for those who have been lulled into passivity, I pray this day that you would sound a trumpet in their ear and that they would wake and join the fight, that they would come out of Babylon and they would join us in the city of God. And for those who have been confronted with opposition from the devil, we pray, O Lord, that you would strengthen their hearts to press forward no matter what, to press forward no matter what, and to overcome. For your heart takes no pleasure in those who shrink back. So, Lord, by all means, let us move forward in you. I thank you for each one, and I pray for good reports to come in of the things that you are doing. In the name of Jesus, amen. And speaking of reports, please don't hesitate to email us or call us or just get in contact with us. If you can, come and visit. Especially begin making your plans for this summer to come up to Revival PEI with us. It's you'll be glad you did. Thanks for joining us. God bless.